Okay, well, welcome. My name is Sean Morgan. I am the creator of QAnonFAQ.com. That's a place where you can go. It's a website. You can get a free ebook about QAnon, get all the basics answered. And I created this YouTube channel a couple of weeks ago because I feel like this is a really important time for humanity, not only related to QAnon, but what's going on with coronavirus. It looks like a major shift is occurring in the power structures. And this has a macrocosmic implication and a microcosmic. So working on our own egos and our own body and our own health and our own consciousness. And so I met someone through my channel. This is Simon. Welcome, Simon, to my little webcast today.
Hey, Sean. How you doing?
Good. Thank you for joining me. And Simon, we had a really interesting chat before about how people during this pandemic, how they're going into fear, and that's actually the worst thing that they could possibly do. So do you want to just give a little introduction about yourself and then go into that topic?
Yeah, absolutely. And what we talked about in particular in relation to fear was something that I personally had experienced from being in my old career, essentially kind of my old life, as it were, as a lawyer when I was a corporate lawyer in the City of London back up to 2009. And I firsthand experienced this feeling literally every single day, simply because the stress was so incredibly high. And what I figured out and now teach folks is actually how to deal with that particular part, how to get the stress under control, because stress and fear are incredibly interlinked. And then that can enable the body to essentially come into a new state of being, which is really what we're after here, especially in these particular times.
Right. It's interesting because I before the coronavirus pandemic, I was working in the technology field, which is a very fast-paced type of work environment. It's very stressful. There are a million tasks. Everything is just at a really, really fast breakneck speed. And so it's just a lot of attention on little details all day long and doing a lot of different things. And I was stressing myself out. It was very performance-based. I was just really trying to make money to take care of my family. And I found myself in this constant state of feeling like crap, just feeling low energy, feeling depressed, feeling all of these things that have to do with stress. And it just makes me think, you know, that is really the definition of the rat race, you know, where the system that's in place right now is to get everyone to get up, get out of bed, go to work, do your thing all day long, come home, just try to recuperate. So then people just watch Netflix or whatever and then wake up and do it all over again. And so can you tell me a little bit about what you have to say about that?
Yeah, absolutely. And this is really the stuff that I've come to know really well through personal experience and also through real body experimentation, not just with myself, but with others. As you say, you experienced this stress. You felt, in particular, a very interesting choice of words in terms of the rat race. What I experienced and what many experience when the fear hits and when the stress hits, especially in a work situation, is that your body, in exactly the way that you've described, it moves into the fight or flight response number one that we know about, which is a really interesting thing, not just from a mental mindset kind of perspective, but also from a really physical biological perspective as well. And this is because, as many people are aware, when you're in that stress situation, your body literally kind of inverts, okay? And we talked about this very briefly before, but it's as if, and there's a lot of research coming out about this, not just on a physical hormonal level, but also on a kind of DNA level, where instead of the DNA and the hormones doing the correct things, going the right way, essentially within yourself, it just completely flips and reverts and inverts so that your systems are performing, but they're actually performing the opposite of the way you want them to perform. What I mean by that is that I managed to join together a number of these dots and the clues that were out there in relation to the production of the hormones of stress, which are adrenaline and cortisol. And the way that this works is that when one moves into fight or flight, all of the energy that's in your body that is regularly within your core moves out to the extremities. Many doctors will tell you this, many health practitioners, many natural health practitioners, most people who understand this will let you know that the way the response of the body is to this is that the energy that was once within your core moves out to the extremities of your body because it's preparing for fighting that saber-toothed tiger back in the, quotes, day we had that experience as, quotes, caveman. I'll leave that to whether that's actually true or not for another discussion. However, when you're taking the energy away from your core, which is where all of your vital organs are, where all of your vital systems are needing to have the energy to be able to produce the correct response within your body, which is one of centeredness and one of essentially calm, you move into the stress response and the fear response, that all gets inverted. The energy goes to fighting, fleeing, or another F, which I won't mention on this particular call because it's not relevant. And that has essentially now depleted the energy available to the organs within the middle of the body.
It's interesting you say that. I've never heard that before, but I will say that when I woke up in the morning and I didn't have any energy, the one thing that made me feel better was when I got a foot massage or gave myself a foot massage, that there is something about energy or problems in my feet, not in my hands, but in my feet and my lower legs, that once I massaged them and got everything moving, then all of a sudden I felt like I could start my day.
Okay, well, that's very interesting you mentioned that, because the feet, as you may or may not be aware, are actually a part of the body where literally all of the energy channels will congregate. So they talk about the hands, the feet, essentially all of the body actually, as being like a fractal of the whole body. So if you would be massaging, let's say, a particular part of your foot, it will be having an influence on literally that part of the body that it relates to. And this goes back to Chinese medicine, acupuncture, the meridian system. A lot of ancient knowledge is linked in with this, but that is not a surprising fact that you would have felt, in particular if you're facing like a stomach issue and you start massaging the middle of your foot, for instance, then it would alleviate it. And it's biological.
Right.
It's because the nerve endings that are running throughout your body end at the feet, and they start at the feet. So,
yeah. It's, luckily, I don't know if luckily is the right word, but it was a good timing for my particular situation of being stressed out to be on a quarantine, because it's like a forced vacation. And now instead of waking up feeling like rushed to go to the office, I just get up, enjoy my breakfast, enjoy my family. And so I'm much more calm now. I'm not having those problems that I mentioned before. So what can a person do besides extricating themselves from the rat race? What can they do for energy gain in particular? So if a person's feeling tired all the time.
Okay, so it's really interesting you mentioned the kind of quarantine situation that we're in, because this, for many folks, and I would say probably about 20% of the population, maybe hopefully a lot more right now, it is having that calming effect of bringing them back to this level of, okay, now I actually feel calm because I don't have 1,000 tasks to do that are not urgent, and that we've seen in this whole issue that in the grander scheme of things, they're not actually that big of an issue. However, within this kind of situation where we find ourselves not necessarily facing the same fear structure as we do with work, that has for many people crossed over into a fear situation, let's say for many, of the news that's constantly being bombarded at us through, you know, social media mainly, through the TV, if you're still watching the TV, and just generally through all of the mainstream media and news. And it's designed that way. It's a curious nature of this reality that we're living in and that a lot of us are really aware of right now. However, in part answer to your question, talking about energy in particular, one of the things that a lot of people have found in this particular scenario is that they are, instead of kind of picking up the baton and, you know, maybe learning a new hobby or getting into exercise, a lot of people are doing this. A lot of people are, you know, taking a home exercise course or getting out in nature and breathing the fresh air, which is amazing. A lot of people are finding that they're vegging a lot more on the couch because, you know, Netflix is one of the number one, you know, streaming services globally anyway, but it's just increased its bandwidth beyond all recognition recently. And one of the major things is exercise, getting out to not necessarily do crazy exercise either. But, and we kind of touched on this a little bit earlier in terms of when the energy is going out through fear to the extremities, it's not helping out your organs. Well, what that will naturally create is a tendency within us, as we all know, this is just natural. We get that craving, right, for it's, and it's inevitably something sweet, it's inevitably something sugary, which in a sense, let's just focus on one organ, should we say, for now. The pancreas in particular, when you start feeding yourself an overdose, let's say, of sugar or high carb products, your pancreas is going to start having a real tough time in terms of regulating the natural homeostasis of your body. And it's going to start getting blocked. It's going to start getting desensitized because of the overproduction of insulin within your body. So it's just one micro example of the way that your body responds to the stress response. And I can tell you, if your body is producing adrenaline and cortisol, from the perspective of wishing to maintain the best body you possibly can from an energy perspective and looking and feeling energized and kind of vitalized, if your body's producing overdoses of insulin, it's just not going to be happening. A lot of doctors are talking about this in particular recently, and the focus on adrenaline and ways to kind of combat this being a fantastic way to gain natural energy. And this is one of the processes that I kind of guide people through in a very safe way, how to do it properly, not making it like a lifestyle choice, but just making it a very quick moment that people can dip into and then come back out of it very quickly.
So I'm not sure I'm following. I mean, it makes sense to me that if you're under stress and you eat a bunch of simple sugars or non-complex carbs or whatever, like white things like white rice, white bread and white pasta and all of that, I understand how there's a cascading effect of actually feeling lower energy, even more low energy. But what do you mean by there's something specific that a person can do one time to gain energy?
Okay, so what we're describing here is the major organ that's in play at the moment is the pancreas. When you eat something like the white bread or the white sugar or the white rice, let's say, what this immediately stimulates is your pancreas to start producing insulin. And the energy low that you feel, that everyone pretty much feels when, you know, when you've had that really heavy lunch between, let's say, 12:30 and 1, let's say, you've just gone for it one day and you just had everything that was on the menu. Well, that feeling of the kind of crash in energy that would hit around about 2:30, 3, maybe at the latest 4 o'clock in the afternoon, is actually the response of this insulin piece coming in. So the job of the insulin that is produced in the pancreas is actually to lower this level of the blood sugar in the body so that it can return back to normality and stasis. However, if we keep on flooding our body full with continued, you know, white products like you describe, the insulin is continually having to be overproduced, which eventually leads to what's termed insulin resistance within the cells, and eventually this can lead to actual diabetes. So, and the really interesting thing about the cells in this piece in terms of insulin is that the cells actually have a dual function. Insulin has a dual function. Not only is it used in the times when we're feeding ourselves so much sugar that we can't cope to reduce that sugar within our bloodstream, its secondary role, which is really interesting, is actually to increase the uptake of nutrients within your cells. So if your cells are now desensitized to receiving this insulin because there's so much of it coming, because you've got so much sugar within your system, then not only does the insulin get blocked from going into the cell because the cell has now become like a desensitized cell, you're actually not going to be gaining the nutrients that you actually do have within your system because the insulin now can't properly get in.
Right.
So it's a really interesting double whammy that we get hit with when we have so much sugar. And one of the best ways that we can self-regulate this very naturally is by fasting, which is actually spoken about many times during the scriptures as a highly natural way to get your body back into stasis, get the kind of sugar levels down naturally, and bring your body back into a way that it can really start behaving properly and start uptaking the nutrients that you're feeding, right?
Yeah. I've actually experimented, maybe 5 times in my life with not eating for maybe 1 to 2 days maximum. And every single time, it was a great experience. And what I mean by that is that maybe it wasn't the most enjoyable thing in the world at the time, but afterwards, I felt much better. And I'm wondering, is part of the reason for that there are these parasitic pathogens like candida that feed off of some bad stuff inside of our body and they actually die of starvation? Is that part of the reason?
Absolutely. You've hit the nail right on the head in terms of there are certain invaders, shall we say, that's in our system from what we may have consumed in the past. These things are physical. They're delivered via certain types of foods. And we know about this. This is all throughout generally accepted consensus right now. And when you shift your body chemistry and your body environment into a way that is not essentially feeding these, you can call them parasites. They're really just, you know, living organisms within your body that have been there through, you know, potentially most of your lifetime because of the aspects that you would have eaten when you were a child. When you're changing your body environment in this situation, you're actually flipping your body chemistry and you're actually creating an environment which is something that these guys don't really want to be in. Dr. Robert Cassard talks about this quite a lot, and you're essentially modifying what he calls your terrain so that these guys will just leave of their own accord. However, what's really important is that you do that kind of process, because if you try and blitz these guys with, you know, things like drugs or what have you and other protocols that are not as natural, they're going to get pretty upset and they're not actually going to start leaving, is what a lot of people are saying. Mm.
So a less invasive, kind of more natural approach ends up being more effective anyway.
Exactly. And it's right out to all the extremities as well. You can take this from within your core right out to the blood, the lymph, the skin, all of the different organs of the body. So it's a very effective process.
Do you have a specific fasting protocol that you like to use?
I like to, in general, I combine an elements of cleanses with water fasting or liquid fasting. I find them to be really useful, especially because they're so neutral and they're not, what's the best word to describe it? there's not so much stuff that you're taking in, let's say, with a juice fast. You're literally just taking in the juice of juices or pure water, distilled water from nature, essentially. And you're consuming that and allowing that one, let's say, aspect to take care of this for you. There are also protocols that you can do, such as intermittent fasting, which is essentially about timing. I find that's useful, but I really tend to focus on that way later down the line when you've got like the real system now functioning properly with all the organs working great and everything all the way out to the lymph and the lungs, etc.
Yeah, you know, when I have done fasting, I've gone through certain emotions like fear of death and fear of starvation, even though at a practical level, if you stop eating for one day, you're not actually going to die. But at a psychological level, it felt like that, or emotional level, it felt like that. And yet, if I stuck through it, you know, I just kind of processed those emotions and kept my commitment to fasting for one day or 2 days, as it was, and it passed. It was an emotion. It passed, and then after that, I wasn't hungry. I wasn't fearful. I wasn't high energy. I was actually resting and letting my body do its own cleansing that it was doing. But I felt an inability to think, which is actually quite refreshing, because I just was present in the moment and I was calm. I wasn't thinking or ruminating on anything. And so I know that you help people with losing weight. I'm specifically very interested in energy gain because I don't need to lose any weight. So do you want to go into some specific energy gain techniques and then maybe get into the weight loss?
Yeah, sure. I mean, what you touched on, Rhys, just in that last sentence that you said about the brain, in terms of when you were doing a fast, let's say, you initially felt this feeling of, let's call it fear, for want of a better word, because instinctively you were potentially telling yourself, I could potentially die here because I'm not eating food. Would that be kind of like the correct way that I was hearing what you were saying?
It starts out with just a very strong sense of hunger. Like, oh my gosh, I need food, I need food, I need food. But then there's another part of my rational self that was overriding that emotional reaction. Like, no, technically I really don't need food right now.
Okay, well, that's really interesting, because what I believe is at play in that particular part is mostly related to the brain and the way that the brain works. And you're probably familiar with the way that the brain, we essentially have like three brains, right? Three major dominant brains as the human species. And the first of those brains is the cerebellum part of the brain, which is kind of like the lowest, the mid part, which contains the brain stem, which many, you know, it's responsible for the basic functions like, you know, a sustaining life, survival, reflex behaviors, muscle control, balance, you know, breathing, your heartbeat, all of these different things, including feeding and digestion, because that's a survival aspect of us, right? So as an initial focus that you had, I find it brilliant the way that that was there. But then afterwards, what happened and what started happening with you was that your logical kind of brain started kicking in to say, actually, no. And the logical brain is a more advanced part of our brains, which mammals have. And it's the limbic system, and called the mammalian part of the brain simply because it's the only type of brain that's developed in mammals. And it is the center of emotion and learning and logic. So in that moment, your logical brain was kind of overriding this other part of your brain, saying, hang on for just 2 seconds. Let's see how this goes. And maybe it's not going to, you know, maybe I'm not going to starve to death, let's say. And that, again, is also linked into the emotions of, you know, feeding and reproduction. And it's still a, you know, it's a part of the brain that is dealing with, do I like this? Do I not like this? And it doesn't, it's the type of brain that doesn't have any concept of time, nor does it really massively apply logic. And it's part of the reason why the mammalian brain is the part of your brain where, let's say, your dog will have not seen you, let's say, for 30 minutes, let's say, but he'll greet you like you've been away for, let's say, 30 years, right? And this happens with all dog owners because they don't have this final part of the brain that we as humans have developed, which is the neocortex, which is the part of the brain when we are feeling really calm and really chilled out, it's where the energy starts going. So I'm thrilled that you mentioned the way that that worked for you in terms of your process when you went through some of these procedures, because it's a very natural way to proceed. First of all, we hit the fight or flight fear aspect, which is the middle part of the brain, which then shoots out to all the extremities in our bodies. But if we can get that part under control, we hit the limbic system, which is still slightly crazy, let's say. But if we can remain in the state of calm for long enough, we will hit the neocortex part of our most advanced brain, which will allow us to remain calm and to remain in a state of essentially stasis, mm-hmm. where nothing can really affect us as badly as we think.
It was actually, it became a spiritual sublime type of level of consciousness that I've rarely reached in my life, of profound calm, of a sense of kind of oneness with your entire environment. I would just go to the park and I would just sit on a bench because I didn't have a lot of energy. I hadn't eaten in a day or so. And I would just sit there and I would just watch the birds and just maybe take a short walk. And just each step was like intentional. Whereas before, I would be walking through the park thinking, where am I going next? What am I doing next? But this time I was just like, here I am. This is all it's about, just being right here. And my brain could not, it literally could not go to that planning type of function, which is kind of more of my default state on a normal day when I'm eating food. We could probably talk a lot about fasting and what happens to you, but we're about to wrap up in about 10 minutes. So people who really want to gain energy, or let's just start there, and if we have time, we'll get to losing weight. If they really want to gain energy, besides doing these very practical things like stop eating a bunch of crap, stop overeating, calm down, all of that, what are some specific energy gain techniques?
Okay, so the number one technique I would recommend is to go through a full organs cleanse. Mm-hmm. Okay, so all parts of your body, the way I refer to this when I'm speaking with clients and folks who are interested, is I think of it in terms of the analogy of a swimming pool. Okay, so let's say you've had a swimming pool that you have had for 40 years and you have not necessarily cleaned it every single year to the best of its ability, and it's slightly getting neglected to the extent that 40 years later you've got a pile up of silt this big at the bottom of the pool. All of the systems aren't really functioning in terms of the way that the pool, what's the name of the filters, etc., that are within the pool, they're all clogged up with leaves that have been falling in, etc. So that analogy of a pool that is stuck with silt and mud and dirt and leaves from 40 years worth of neglect is very similar to the way that our bodies are. And what I found to be one of the very best ways to deal with this is going through a full body cleanse. And trust me, I spent probably about 5 years testing out this particular process until I've discovered a number of protocols, should we say, that I was able to combine so that I would go from one aspect of the body into a different organ, into a different aspect,
cleanse.
And then progressively move out towards the the finer aspects of your body.
Mm-hmm.
But this, for me, was one of the most incredible energy gaining portions of my life. And it saw my body literally transform within the course of a couple of months.
And what kind of body did you have before?
Say again?
You said you had a body transformation. So what was your body like before the cleanse?
Okay, so before, this was in 2015, I started really getting deep into this. And May 2016, something just shifted in my body through some of the things that I was doing. At that point, May 2016, I was, I would say, another third of my body weight right now in body fat.
Wow.
So right now, I'm probably around 65 to 70 kilos, and I was at my very height, about 95 kilos. And I've got a video I can share with you on this to show you the
I would the love to put a picture of you in the description of this video, yeah.
Sure, no problem at all. It was just getting to that stage where my body was so stressed from all the work I'd been doing. It was so confused and it was not relaxed. It was not chilled out. And it just wasn't doing the correct things. Yeah. I was heading for that, you know, dad body so quickly.
Yeah.
And so yeah, I started doing that and a couple of other techniques. And eventually I realized exactly what I'd done, and this is the full process that I teach folks now. It takes about 8 weeks.
It's an 8 weeks mostly weight loss focused?
Well, the interesting thing is that its primary goal is to gain you the body that you've actually desired by teaching you literally, right, this is step one here, this is step two, this is step three. However, what I've been finding is that just through naturally the way that you're taking care of the body systems, this obviously has an effect on your immunity, right? Which we're all talking about now with the pandemic quotes that's happening. And so it's got multiple benefits. It affects all 11 systems of the body. So it's
higher energy,
brilliant.
Higher productivity, happier, you know, everything.
Right.
The health, great good example. Health is just everything in life. Okay, so we're about to wrap up. Before we get into that, what are some specific types of cleansing variables or protocols? For example, I've heard apple juice for liver. I've heard of other types of juices and fruits and things like that are involved. Do you want to go into any of that before we wrap up? Like, what are some of the things that people are going to end up consuming during a cleanse?
Yeah, sure. One of the great deliverers of, it's the best way to describe it, the kind of herbs, tinctures, going all the way back to ancient times, like these are Ayurvedic treatments. You correctly identify apple is actually one of the best deliverers for these aspects. I recently actually, during this lockdown, I actually figured out one final piece that I'd been struggling with actually right up to now, which was, as we've talked about a tiny bit here, candida. I thought, okay, this might actually be candida that was appearing on my feet. So I took a very natural remedy that a lot of people had actually told me about recently, which was apple cider vinegar mixed in with distilled water in a very, you know, that much water to that much apple cider vinegar, let's say, and have been consuming that for the past, let's say, week. Actually, no, not even that. I've probably been consuming it for maybe three of the last 14 days, actually. And I have seen a remarkable difference in my feet, number one. So yeah, apple is great. We really recommend a really specific in order process that takes you through all of the organs using apple juice and certain Ayurvedic tinctures and herbs. Yeah,
great. Yeah, something I'll mention before we close is that when I did my fast, I went through a detoxification process where I just, you know, laid in bed most of the day because I didn't have any energy, and I actually started to break a fever. And so there was something in my body that needed to be killed by what a fever does. And also what ended up happening is I had a plantar's wart at the time on my foot. And normally that kind of thing actually did not cause me any pain, because even I was walking on it was not a problem because it had a callus over it. But just laying in bed, they got to a certain point where my body decided to start attacking that thing. And it was really, really painful. So I'm just laying there. I haven't eaten anything. I haven't done anything. I break into a sweat because I'm going through a fever. And then my plantar's wart starts killing me. So it's like my body finally had the energy and the time to focus on cleaning things up.
Right. A lot of the reason behind that is because your energy is now coming up from here into here, and very naturally it's now able to go and escort these aspects that have been causing you trouble out of your system. We actually call this phase the die-off phase, and it's probably not a great way to describe it, because nothing's actually really dying, let's say. It's just being escorted out.
Yeah.
And the way that it worked with your fever, that's a very common symptom, I gather. Not that I'm talking symptomology here. I'm just talking about getting a vital body. So full disclaimer, you know, not intended to prevent, cure, treat, or diagnose any kind of disease or anything like that. This is simply for entertainment purposes only, right? As we know. And obliged to say that, not approved by the FDA also, of course, as we always have to say that. And so what was happening there, your body would naturally produce a fever because it wanted to get rid of this outer layer of you that was not serving you and not serving your energy system and not serving your physical body, correct?
Right.
So you would have this for a certain period of time, maybe a week, maybe less time than that, probably a lot less time than that. And by the time you came out of it, that part is now gone. As I'm sure you experience, is your callus or the wart that you mentioned.
Right.
So yeah, the body, I believe if we trust it, is a very, very, very intelligent organism.
Right. It knows what to do. It knows what to focus on first and prioritize the cleanup process. So Simon, thank you for joining. And I'm actually going to put a link below in the description where people can get in touch with you if they need your help with weight loss. I don't know your schedule. I don't know how many clients you can handle right now, but you can just respond to them and let them know. I know that you're doing a big project right now. So maybe in the next call, if we do one, you can tell us about that project as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And like you say, we typically take about 5 clients on at one time, but because of what everyone's going through right now, that's increased up to 10. Mm-hmm. So yeah, absolutely.
Okay,
we're here.
Great. Thank you so much. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, great. Thank you.
Have a good quarantine.
Yes, it's great.